watching a series. Don't you like series? This one will not take 7 years. It's actually a series I did, I think about 13, maybe 14 years ago in the adult Bible class. It's on biblical principles of parenting. Biblical principles of parenting. And you may say, well, I'm not a parent. That's all right. It's good for you too, because you may be a prospective parent. You may say, well, I've raised my kids. That's all right. You can be a counselor to your kids who are trying to raise kids. And you say, well, I'm a child. Well, then you can appreciate what your mom and dad are trying to do in your life then, as we go through this series. Today's will not be one that has to do with that necessarily, but beginning next Sunday, biblical principles of parenting. This morning, actually, I'm going to give you a negative example of a mother. Did you see in your bulletin what the title is? A mother named Jezebel. I won't ask if anybody here has a mother named Jezebel, but I doubt that you do. There may be some of you who are new to the Bible, new Christians, and you may wonder, well, who's Jezebel? You're going to find out who Jezebel is. Jezebel is not a positive term. Jezebel is a very, very negative term. And you may have wanted a positive message this morning, and yet what you can take from this message can be positive. Just like the Ten Commandments, how many of those say not in them? We're looking at this on Sunday nights. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When we obey the Ten Commandments and when we take to heart the nots, the negatives, it allows us to live positively. And so I want us this morning to look at a mother named Jezebel. Before I do that, I found these 15 reasons that I owe my mother. And these are 15 reasons you owe your mother. Number one, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would say, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Secondly, my mother taught me religion. She would say, you better pray. That will come out of the carpet. Number three, my mother taught me logic. She would say, because I said so, that's why. Four, my mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Number five, my mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? How many ever had your mom say that to you? How do you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when you get home. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to stick that way. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? And lastly, my mother taught me about justice. And this is probably the best one. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. What makes a good mother? Is a good mother somebody who tells interesting stories? Somebody who cooks real well, somebody who does the dishes, plays with the kids, makes sure the kids are on time, dresses them neatly in public and wipes their noses. What makes a good mother? Because a woman can do all of those and not be a good mother. A godly woman makes a good mother. I want us to look at the end of the life of a woman, Jezebel, and see if this is the kind of a life that is to be emulated. 2 Kings chapter 9, please. And we're going to be going back and forth between the last part of 1 Kings and the first chapters of 2 Kings. But for right now, 2 Kings chapter 9. This is the death of Jezebel. And I want again to see if this is someone you as a mother would like to emulate, especially her end. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, and tired her head, and looked out a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Had Zimri peace who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who was on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go now, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." Folks, this is what a godly woman should not be like. The name Jezebel has come to symbolize a woman who is regarded as evil, somebody who's regarded as scheming. No one names their daughters today that I know of Jezebel. Her story is seen by the people who were affected, or maybe I ought to say infected, by her. She had tremendous influence. Moms, you have influence. And your influence goes beyond just that which you have upon your children. Your influence is that which takes place in your home with your husband. You have influence with your neighbors. You have influence, believe it or not, upon those whom God has allowed to shepherd you in your life. You have influence, perhaps, upon your pastor. But you've seen the life of Jezebel at the end, and you've seen one man who was influenced by her, or at least the man who dealt with her. His name was Jehu, and God had given Jehu the instruction to take care of this wicked woman. And he did what the Lord had called him to do. But there's at least four others that Jezebel had an influence on. She influenced, number one, a man by the name of Ahab. What was her relationship with Ahab? They were married. Ahab was her husband. She had an influence on someone else. His name was Naboth. Naboth was her neighbor. She also had an influence upon a man by the name of Elijah, a godly man. She also had an influence on a young lady named Athaliah and a young man named Ahaziah. Children and grandchildren. Let's look first of all at the influence she had on her husband, Ahab. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 16 with me, please. 1 Kings 16. I see at least two influences she had upon her husband. A religious influence. And I'm not talking about religious as in a Christian influence. I'm just talking about religion in general today. She had a religious influence and she had a moral influence. Here in 1 Kings 16, 31, here was her religious influence. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him, this is talking about Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him, because of the influence of a woman named Jezebel. Ahab married a woman who had a tremendous religious influence upon him. It was bad enough that Ahab had taken up the sins of his father Omri. His father Omri, who had taken up the sins of his forefather Jeroboam. And on top of that, he went and married a woman by the name of Jezebel. She was the cause of further religious decline in his life. not only in his life, but in all of Israel. The worship of a god named Baal. Baal was imported from Zidon by Jezebel. Ladies, there are many cases where you can import into your family not only the good things that you've learned, but the things that come from your past, from wicked influences in your past. And she brought them into this family. I've got an observation. Women are a great influence religiously. They are a tremendous influence religiously. Their father can be godly, but if the woman is not, it seems like she negates everything. I think of a godly man by the name of Solomon, whose heart was turned from the Lord because of strange women. Ladies, you can be a godly or you can be an ungodly influence in your family. You read the back of your bulletin, and there at the bottom on the back, it gives. I told you not to read these before, but if you haven't, we'll read it now. There at the bottom where it talks about Sir Walter Scott, his mother was a superior woman, well-educated and a great lover of poetry and painting. Byron's mother was proud, ill-tempered, and violent. The mother of Napoleon Bonaparte was noted for her beauty and energy. Lord Bacon's mother was a woman of superior mind and deep piety. The mother of Nero was a murderess. The mother of Washington was pious and pure and true. The mother of Patrick Henry was marked by her superior conversational powers. The mother of John Wesley, intelligence, piety, executive ability. It will be observed that in each of these examples, the sons inherited the prominent traits of the mother. And now you have that responsibility or that opportunity. Jezebel was a woman who threw her weight around. She was someone who probably told Ahab how the kids were going to be reared. Folks, ladies, your ability to be a good mother largely depends upon how good of a wife you are. You give your children a good mother by, first of all, giving your husband a good wife. And as we're going to learn as we go through biblical principles of parenting, if you're going to have a good marriage, you must first have a good relationship with the Lord. My relationship with the Lord is priority. If your relationship with the Lord is not what it ought to be, you cannot be a good wife. And you cannot be a good mother. Your relationship with God is paramount. That first, if you're going to rear godly children. And then secondly, you must be a good wife before you can be a good mother. But this woman, Jezebel, had a religious influence, and it was not a good influence on her husband, Ahab. Secondly, her moral influence. Go to 1 Kings 21 and verse 25. Talking about how wicked Ahab was. 1 Kings 21, 25, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." This man was so wicked, it would almost make your stomach churn. But I didn't finish the verse. "Whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up." This implies that as wicked as Ahab was, he would not have been as wicked if it weren't for his wicked wife, Jezebel. She stirred him up to even be more wicked. You look at the history of Jezebel, she was not a Jew. She was a princess from Zidon. And when Jesus talks about Zidon in the New Testament, he equates Sodom and Gomorrah with Zidon. That's how wicked that city was. It was a beautiful, wealthy city on the coast of the Mediterranean. And because this city was so prosperous, it brought to it sensual entertainment and ungodliness. Ahab sold himself to do evil. Go back to verse 20 of this same chapter. "Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Ahab had sold himself to it due to the influence of the instigator, Who was the instigator? Who stirred him up? Jezebel. That phrase, stirred up, has the underlying idea of cunningness. You know, it used to be that you could count on women to have high moral standards. It used to be that it was the women you could look to who would be the leaders in chastity and in purity and in godliness, but not anymore. The pulse of a nation reflects the character of its mothers. Young men who are seated before me unmarried, avoid Jezebels. They know how to paint their face. We saw that in 1 Kings 16, 30, and 2 Kings chapter 9. Remember when Jehu was coming? She looked out and she painted her face, tired her head. They know how to make themselves up. Avoid Jezebels at all costs. How do you avoid a Jezebel? If you've got a godly mother, you ask her. So Jezebel had an influence on her husband Ahab. Secondly, Jezebel had an influence on her neighbor Naboth. We're here in 1 Kings 21. If you look at the previous part of this chapter, you're going to find in this story that Naboth has this vineyard that King Ahab wants. And when Naboth would not sell him his vineyard, Ahab went to his room, lay down in his bed, turned his face to the wall, and began to pout. You doubt that I'm saying that? That that is true? Good. Look at verse 4. The last part, he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Jezebel asked him, Ahab, why are you so sad? Because my neighbor has this vineyard that I really want, but he won't sell it to me. She said, don't worry, I'll get it for you. So she arranges for this feast, and she cunningly arranges so that some sons of Belial, some wicked men, would lie about a phrase or lie about something that Naboth would say. They were supposed to say, we caught this man cursing God. Let's take him out and stone him. And that's exactly what they did. They took him out and stoned him. Jezebel came back to her husband Ahab and said, the vineyard is now yours. You can have it. Talk about a wicked, cunning woman. She had the influence of covetousness. Whatever she wants, she gets. No matter how she gets it. She had the influence of shamelessness. Absolutely no shame in removing someone for the sake of herself. She was guilty of murder and shamelessly guilty of murder. And yet God gives to women by nature a disposition of gentleness, a disposition of nurturing, of caring. But once a woman departs from that high calling, she sinks further into sin than any man could ever think of doing, and it would make a filthy pirate blush when a woman goes against the nature of what a woman is. I was reading about Jezebel in a book called Women of the Old Testament, and the author made this statement: there are more heartless men than heartless women, but a heartless woman is far more dangerous. No one wants a Jezebel for a neighbor. Ask Naboth. And a neighbor isn't just somebody who lives next to you. A neighbor might be somebody you work with. A neighbor might be someone else, and you know what it's like to have someone who's cunning, somebody who's out to destroy. She's a Jezebel. She had a wicked influence on her husband. She murdered her neighbor. Thirdly, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on this one, she had an influence on the man of God. She had an influence on Elijah. You can tell the character of a woman by who her enemies are, who they talk negatively about. And first of all, we see that she had the influence of persecution. She is the one who hated God's man. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at verses 3 and 4. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. That's the part I want you to see. Go down to verse 13 as well. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? She was one who had taken her religious influence. And for her religious influence to be felt, she had to destroy the prophets of God. She had blood on her hands. You'll see that in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 7, which we read earlier. She fed false prophets. She was an encouragement to the men who would preach falsely. Look at verse 19 of 1 Kings 18. Talking about the 450 prophets of Baal, which ate where? At Jezebel's table. She was someone who would feed the false prophets. She was so wicked that if she found a godly man, she did everything she could to destroy him. But when she found ungodly men, she did everything she could to support them and promote them and to set them up as someone for others to follow. And she was quite successful. In fact, she was successful to the extent that Elijah believed himself to be the only remaining prophet who feared God. That's how successful she was. She was a threat to the godly. She would do anything she could to destroy God's man. And today, a mother may not do that by murdering. She might do that by her tongue. Mothers, when you get together with other mothers, what kind of discussions do you have? Some of the greatest persecutors of pastors in churches today are women. She had the influence of persecution. Secondly, she had the influence of false doctrine. Did you know that Jezebel is mentioned in the New Testament? Did you know that she's mentioned in the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation? Go there with me, please, to chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus himself is addressing the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he addresses this church located in Thyatira. This church was a church that was tolerant of evil. This church was a church that was tolerant of the unrepentant. You read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, was for Israel, this woman was for the church at Thyatira. Mothers, would you be guilty of being a Jezebel in this church? There's many Jezebels throughout church history who've had an influence on churches. If I were to say the name Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, a Jezebel. Madeline Murray O'Hare, Jezebel. I could name some others. There's many women in the Bible who are favorably mentioned. If I would say the name Sarah, very positive. Rebecca, Rahab, Hannah, Deborah, Ruth, Abigail, Esther, the Marys, Martha, Lydia. Often women seem more inclined to accept the gospel and serve Christ on the mission field, for example, than men. But the same qualities that make a woman so useful in the service of Christ also make her capable of causing defection from truth. It's a statement by Marshall Neal in his book, Seven Churches, right there on Revelation. I was reading an article some time ago, and it has to do with how American culture is becoming more and more feminized. And this feminization is even creeping into the church. Let me read you a portion of this article. Businesses are abandoning their hierarchical structures and rugged individualism in favor of collaborative management and relationship building. Schools that once stressed discipline and achievement now have become places of nurturing and self-esteem building. Even the military has become preoccupied with sensitivity training. In the realm of government, both parties have become obsessed with the politics of caring. Even the men's movement seems wholly derivative of the women's movement. Douglas Wilson has observed how Promise Keepers has men abandoning the typical pattern of male friendships based on the camaraderie of common interests and giving each other a hard time in favor of the same sort of intimate, self-disclosing relationships that characterize friendships among women. Even the church, this article goes on to say, has become feminized. Forceful doctrinal preaching and aggressive proselytizing have largely given way to good feelings and relationship building. Jezebel was a wicked influence on her husband. She mistreated her neighbor. She was known by the man of God as being opposed to godliness. But you can see her character, lastly, in her children. Do her children arise and call her blessed? Proverbs 31, you read, where the kind of a mother that you see in that chapter, her children arise and call her blessed. I read in my Bible in Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And if you read that again, it says the rod and reproof give wisdom. That's a mother who will not take the rod and use the rod in the way that God intended. That mother is on the path to becoming like a Jezebel, raising a child who is a terror. I want you to see two descendants from Jezebel. The first one is Jehoram. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 9. We read there earlier. And I want you to note the influence that Jezebel had upon Jehoram. 2 Kings chapter 9, look at verse 22. This is before Jehu gets to Jezebel. It says in 2 Kings 9:22, it came to pass when Jehoram, he's called Joram here, when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" What kind of peace can there be, Jehoram, so long as you are practicing and doing the things of your mother Jezebel, her witchcrafts, her whoredoms, her immorality, and her witchcraft practiced by her son Jehoram? Why? He was influenced by his mother. He was a murderer, and he here is taken care of by Jehu. So that's her son. But I want you to see her daughter, Athaliah. 2 Kings chapter 11. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose, and what did she do? She destroyed all the seed royal. You see, her mother, Jezebel, had injected the poison of Zidon into the veins of Israel. And now Athaliah, do you remember this story? Athaliah marries a king of Judah. So not only is the northern kingdom of Israel affected, now the southern kingdom of Judah is affected because she married a king of Judah, the southern kingdom, and she makes sure that the same things happen in Jerusalem that were happening in the northern part of the kingdom. You see, the cause of Jezebel lives on through her daughter. Athaliah, too, was known for her wickedness. Go to 2 Chronicles with me, to 2 Chronicles 24. Note what is stated about her there, 2 Chronicles 24. Observe what she is called here. 2 Chronicles 24:7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman. Hey, you know something? When children threatened to hinder her progress, she did not hesitate to exterminate them. That's what you see there in 2 Kings 11, verse 1. She destroyed all the seed royal. You say, that's horrible to kill. That's horrible for her to kill for such selfish reasons. Yes, but listen to me. Many Athaliahs today enter Planned Parenthood clinics to exterminate children for the same reason. Because the children get in my way. And because mothers are selfish. Jezebels they are. Athaliahs. Athaliah then influenced her son Ahaziah to do wickedly. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. The influence lives on. Jezebel influences Athaliah. Athaliah influences Ahaziah. 2 Chronicles 22. Verse 2, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for who was his counselor to do wickedly? Are you reading it with me? 2 Chronicles 22:3. Who influenced Ahaziah? Who was his counselor to do wickedly? His mother. You may not have been formally named Jezebel, and none of you are. And I know of no other person by that name. But there are many Jezebels in our world today. Some are in churches. There was one in Thyatira. Thousands have followed and are following in the footsteps of this wicked woman by influencing their husbands, both religiously and morally. They do nothing to influence their neighbor or the people they work with for the Lord. Instead, their testimony is one of covetousness and shamelessness. Their influence in churches is one of persecuting those who try to live godly, and they spread false doctrine. But the greatest crime, one of the greatest crimes, is seen in the influence they have on their children, because those children grow up to do and to be like mom. Jezebels. Raise Athaliahs. Father, I pray that you would be with each mother under the sound of my voice.